Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Your word is everlasting, is a light when all else fails. God, lead us in this path and show us the way of everlasting life. Please, God, may we fall in love with your word like this writer of Psalm 119 did. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Some of the great writings of the past have contained some amazing wisdom, some amazing knowledge. They have professed undying love. Shakespeare, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Homer's Iliad, War and Peace, Atlas Shrugged, some of the famed writings of our time and time before, The Flowers of Evil by Charles Baudelaire, one of my favorite poetry books. William Blake wrote a book called Proverbs in Hell, amazing, amazing book. The Road to Excess leads to the Palace of Wisdom. Crazy little things like that. There's been amazing writings. The books that fill this world, that lighten the soul of man and darken the soul of man, can't touch Psalm 119 with a candle. They can't. Psalm 119, some say written by David, I would say so, is the most... Have you ever loved something so much? Have you ever loved something so much that you wanted to express that love in a manner that goes beyond words? I spent all week up in Georgia, every morning waking up to this pudgy little fat-cheeked face, this toothless little wonder, making noises at me. Ah, it was like living with Bruce Lee for a week. That's what she does. And you talk to her, and she if you talk to her, she looks at you, and then looks at somebody else and goes, do you believe he said that? And looks back. I love this kid so much. It's just, when they're new like that, before they've done anything like bad to you, before they've broken your heart, before they've removed their hand from your hand, I'll never forget that. I cried one time walking to Publix. My daughter Elena was about 7 years old. And I was holding her hand, me, and she was my little buddy. You know, she was my firstborn, and we didn't know how many we were going to have at the time, so she was just my buddy. And we were walking into Publix, and she saw these little girls walking out, and she pulled her hand away from me. I am not exaggerating to you when I tell you I was literally weeping while I was walking through Publix because I could not believe that she did that. Does anybody know that feeling? You know what I'm talking about? Mothers, daughters, anybody? It's the most horrible thing in the world. Have you ever loved something so much it went beyond words? There's, you know, in the Greek, there's six words for the word in English, love. Six words. There's the love of friends, there's the love of food, there's the love of erotic love, huh? There's a friendship love, a family love, there's so many different kinds. It's, in English, we use the word love. Oh, man, I love ice cream. I love my wife. God has a word that is above it all. It's the word agapeo. Present tense, agape. A-G-A-P-E. It's the word which means unconditional, undeserved, never-ending, everlasting. You didn't earn it, you just got it. And you can't do anything to turn it off. You could hate it in return, and it will love you back. Now, I give to you a greater writing than anything you've ever read. But I want you to know that it's an experiential love. It's not a blind faith love. And what separates me from some of you is the recognition of the depth, the width, and the breadth that God has taken us, has taken me. Full assurance that it was God. David, if indeed he is the writer of this, if it wasn't, dare I say his experiences were even greater, because you can't write something like this. If I read to you John 14, do not let your heart be troubled. For I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. If it were not so, I would have told you. How beautiful, how wonderful. If I give to you Romans 8:28, all things work together for them that love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I could go over and over. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, I could go through, Revelation 21, where he describes what awaits those who endure perseverance. He describes the temple and those that are outside. Ugh, I don't even remember the verses. And you come across them. How about, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Now, I can read those to you and you'd be like, man, that's good stuff, man. But you know what I can read to you also? I can read to you the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not. I can read to you about the stories of Joseph, his dreams, how his brothers threw him a pit. I can tell you about the Exodus, where they built the golden calf. I can tell you about Leviticus. Don't eat a bat. Don't eat this. Don't do that. I can tell you about Numbers. God dividing the nation. You take this land. You take that land. I can tell you about the Old Testament prophet, Moses. And I would never once use the name that is above all names. And for me, I'm sorry, I will confess, it doesn't have that same magnitude. It doesn't have that same depth of love. When I splash the living water of the New Testament upon you, it's only in light of the New Testament does the Old Testament look so sweet to me. But the writer of this only had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Somehow, out of those first five books, the Torah, the Pentateuch, he developed this love for God. He read it and saw the testimony. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. What God meant for evil. You know, it just doesn't hold the same weight to me. And I think that's what makes this writing even more marvelous. Truly, I believe that, again, if David is the writer of Psalm 119, he had a New Testament relationship with God in the Old Testament. For he fell so in love with God, with what God did in his life. If you don't know the life of David, little shepherd boy, anointed king, at a very young age, but did not possess the throne of Israel for some 15 years after, and 10 of those years were spent running around caves, fleeing for his life. Thanks so much, he might say to Samuel, who anointed him. I appreciate you anointing me king, and here's your reward. It wasn't the keys to the kingdom. It was a testimony of God's protection over him. Fleeing, baying dogs in the night. Legions of soldiers trying to find him, to run him through with a spear, maybe torture him. And then when he did ascend the throne, got for himself 13 wives, messed around with one of his general's wives, and then had her husband killed, and then the baby that he produced with his general's wife dies. Then he completely ignores God and numbers the people, and because of it, a plague fell on the people, and some 100,000 or so people die. And yet, somehow, some way, he fell so madly in love with God over the testimony of his life, knowing that the last thing that would happen to him would be good. I've told the story too many times. I'm not going to tell it again. It bores me, and it's very difficult, but no matter what's going on in your life, there's deliverance right around the corner. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. It doesn't matter how the world has trapped you. It does not matter what mess you got yourself into with your desires, your bad decisions, your walking away from God. Everything is going to wind up good. That's crazy. And David had seen it enough times. He fell so in love with God. He said, I gotta write God a love letter. I gotta write God a poem. And here's what I'm gonna do. Since every word that comes out of my mouth is insufficient, it's not even close to enough. Jamie, could you describe the love that you have for your daughter with words? It's written in the blood of your heart. You would kill for her, and yet you would die for her. You would take her pain upon yourself so that she wouldn't have to feel it. You would throw a rose petal down before her if you knew it would help her to walk. You would pray for her every single day if you knew it helped. There's nothing you won't do for your kid. And at some point in time, David just decides that he writes what's called an acrostic poem. you've not been here over the last couple months, there's a few acrostic poems in the Bible. This is an acrostic poem. If you're looking at your Bible, it's Psalm 119. Before verse 1, it says Aleph. And if your Bible has the little Hebrew writing next to it, is it? Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you would turn two or three pages to the right, maybe four or five pages, the last letter is Tau, with the little letter representing it. So what David does is he takes every letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet, and he starts the verse that he's writing with it, writes eight verses with that very beginning, and then does it for every letter in the alphabet because he wants God to know that no matter what language, no matter what word, no matter what, I just want to praise you. You see what he did there? Did anybody not understand what I said? So each section or subsection has seven or eight verses in it. And the first letter in each one of those verses is the letter of that subsection. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Wa, Zayin, every one of them, that section starts with that letter. That's called an acrostic poem. But contained herein is prophecy, it's dedication, it's promise, it's testimony. As I read these to you, 170 some odd verses I'm about to read to you, it's probably going to take me an hour and a half, because I'm going to break down every single, I'm just kidding, just kidding. But you guys seem down with the program. What's astonishing to me is as I read this to you, I feel like I'm bearing my soul to you because so many of the verses in this psalm have meant so much to me. They've been comfort when I needed it. They've been encouragement when I was down. They've been light when I've been in darkness. They've been a promise of deliverance. They've been, oh Lord, they've been a rearview mirror and a front windshield. Crazy. Psalm 119 is crazy. And as I read it to you, I only want you to imagine your life a movie, and through it, the scenes of your life flashing through, and watch, like, oh, my kids, they have this crazy habit. Every movie and every TV show has to have the subtitles. Why? I mean, like, it's so hard to watch movies and TV, because all you're doing is reading the thing. And then, like, when you watch, like, a movie that they speak, like, English, like England English, like, wow, I actually understand what they're saying now. Sometimes I watch, they're speaking English, but I had no idea what that guy just said. Put the subtitles on. They watch this baking show.
Oh, and put the eggs in the sponge.
Sponge?
Your cake's a sponge, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about or not? How many of you guys watch all your TV shows and movies with subtitles? So my kids are not the only weirdos. Huh? No, they even if it's in English, they watch with the subtitles. I watch America's Funniest Videos, reruns, with subtitles. The only show I've watched in the last 5 years that didn't have subtitles was Green Acres, because they didn't have subtitles in the 60s. Anyway, prepare the subtitles of your life with pictures now. As David recants the goodness of God in his entire life, and he writes this acrostic poem just to prove to God that his dedication is forever enshrined. Rich asked, what part of his life did he write this? And I would, like I said, I would assume, let's assume that it's him that wrote this, because he was truly one of the only men in history that could write something like this. You would assume it'd be somewhere toward the end of his life because of all the testimony, but you just don't know. And that's why I said, if he didn't write it, the guy that wrote it had some testimony. Now, I know that there are some people that are born with a talent. Here's something I always tell my fighters. Like, I get a guy, and if I'm coaching him in fighting or coaching him in jiu-jitsu or coaching him in something like that, I say to him, listen, there's four levels of this life that you're trying to live. The first level is called gifted. Some guys are gifted, man. They walk in the gym, and they have a gift from God, and you see it from the beginning. Some guys are talented, and you see at first flashes of like, wow, if you put some work into this, you might be good. And then there's those guys who make up the vast majority of fighters who just have crazy work ethic. They are hard workers, man. And they will beat their body into submission. They will learn their craft. And it's through many trials and many bumps and bruises. It's through many broken bones and injuries that they become quite good at what they do. And then the fourth category is kind of the saddest. It's the guys that have none of those. And all they have is desire. They don't have work ethic. They don't have talent. And they don't have gifts. Oh, well. And every once in a while, an athlete comes along who has all four of them. Yes, you can have all four of those. And they are special, man. They are the Michael Jordans. They are the Tom Brady's. I mean, if this year didn't prove that Tom Brady's one of the greatest of all time, then you just... I didn't even watch football, and I just see what he did. It's a crazy thing. However, having said all that, David, who wrote this, I believe, he was gifted from God. Because I want you to go home tonight and think about whatever it is that you love abundantly, immensely, that the very beating of your heart follows after. And I want you to write down A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all the way down to Z. And I want you to write three things that begin with that letter. A, adoring, loving wife, you're the greatest. Two, apple of my eye, I love you. Three, amazing woman, did I say amazing already? You got the point, though. It was a joke. It's hard, man. It's really, really hard. It's like takes an amazing amount of devotion, of gifting, of talent, of mastering words of the English language, as well as an immense amount of love. Because it's a labor. You guys feel me? Having said that, Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart, when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Let me pause right there and let you in on two things that are super important. Number one, I don't care who's interpreting the Hebrew, you can't do it in English. That's why I'm reading to you. You're like, wait, you said it was acrostic. How come everything is starting with A? That's how hard it is. Try it. I want somebody to try it. Write 8 verses that start with the letter A that are, and this is the second thing, all about the Word of God. This is what makes it so crazy. This is not just about how God loves, how David loves God. This is about how David loves God's Word. And the only thing he had to read was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He fell so in love with God's Word, God's testimony, God's law, God's precepts. You will see these words happen over and over and over and over again. It's pretty amazing. Some of you guys are like, yeah, get to reading, please read the Bible. Listen to me. When the depth of what he's done hits you, you're going to be like, wow, this dude really loved God. This must have took him a long time. Because that's, like, what else did he have to do? You know what I mean? There was no Netflix. He couldn't binge watch anything else. Beth, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Wait a second. That's more like a proverb than a psalm. So the wisdom you can glean is, how can I cleanse my way? By reading the Bible. So there's wisdom, there's testimony, there's profession. I mean, there's proclamation. Whatever it is, it's in here. This is just the most beautiful, so much. You can't teach this stuff, man. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Gimel, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Now, if 18 doesn't excite you, if you've never prayed 18 before you've read the Bible in the morning, you get up in the morning, read your Bible, I cannot tell you the countless number of times where I've prayed before I read and I go, God, just open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things in your word. Gosh. I am a stranger in this earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Now I'm going to give you guys a little test, give you guys a little game to play with Psalm 119. There are 6 verses in Psalm 119 that don't say word, testimonies, statutes, precepts, all the things that God, that David is using to describe God's word. There are 6 verses where he doesn't say them. If Find them for homework. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. I don't know a brother who's ever fought against the lust of the eyes that has not kept that word close to him in the hopes that someday God would deliver. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimony also before kings and will not be ashamed. Oh, if I can test you guys, when we're in here, we held that word in our hand, we look at it, we read it, we fall in love with it, but I give you a test this week. From this till Sunday, I want you to carry your Bible everywhere you go. I don't want you to take it out of your hand. And if you're at the store, somebody looks at you, if you see your friends, hey guys, I've been walking with the Lord for 25 plus years. I'm a pastor for the last 15 plus, and I still can't do it. I can, but I get weird sometimes. Like, oh, why are you carrying about? Oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian. It's not as easy as you think. I'm bearing a little bit of my soul. Don't judge me. But, you know, you go about your day and you're it's like some people think you're weird. I'm not odd for God. I'm not a jerk for Jesus. Why are you carrying your Bible around? It's my sword. It's my shield. I'm not ashamed of it. Well, if you're sitting there judging me, you try it this week and see how it goes for you. And the first time you want to put it in back, you or then you go, oh, yeah, I guess I'm not going to be so judgmental on Ryan. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. You guys know what he's saying there? Has God ever given you a word and you're waiting for him to fulfill it? Have you ever gotten a promise from God? Here David, respectfully and humbly, is doing what's called coming to the throne of grace in his time of need and reminding God of his word and saying, God, please remember your word. I've been hoping on it for a long time. It's just such a beautiful heart. You gotta let your, listen to me, look, the word is written like this, but here's what you gotta do. You gotta let your life go like this around it. You gotta let it just weave itself, man. We read like this, man, but God's word is so much thicker and so much fatter and so much more than we thought it was. I went to Jim Coy's church up in North Carolina. You know, he just had 25% of his lung removed like 2.5 weeks ago, and he's back in his church teaching. It's just amazing. Just hearing somebody so skilled, so familiar with the word, and watching God who has broken this dude. I mean, smithereens. I don't even want to tell you his testimonies. They're so crazy. When he speaks the word, it's like, comes alive, man. Comes alive. It's it was him that told me. If you've never heard a man named John Corson teach the Bible, John Corson is a very famous old Calvary Chapel pastor. He walked with Chuck Smith. If you've never heard this guy teach the Bible, you will say to yourself after one teaching, where did he get that from? And it was Jim Coy who told me, Ryan, you don't want to go to that school. You don't want to go to that school. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, listen to John Corson's testimony. Listen to how his wife died. And listen to how his daughter died. And listen to the heartbreak that this guy has dealt with. And yet the joy of the Lord is all over this man. He comes out and he's got this big, deep voice. And oh, man, God's word is so good. God's plan for your life, it's way cool. I'm telling you, it's like watching Santa Claus preach the word of God. It's crazy. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Have you forgotten yet that it's an acrostic poem and every single, I mean, can you imagine writing something like this, but yet every, it's already beyond me. It's one of those things that, like, sometimes you look at somebody, jiu-jitsu, MMA, football, like there's some sports you watch and you go, like, I think I can do that. If I was given the same chance, I can do that. You read this and you're like, yeah, I'm never going to do that. Not going to happen. Like, you watch Michael Phelps swim in the Olympics. I watch that guy and I go, never going to happen. Can't do that. Never going to try. You guys know what I'm saying? You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. That's from Heth. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Teth, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 67 is one of my life, it wasn't my life verse, but when I went out to start this church, guys, I had to have all these pastors. There's 15 pastors in my old church, and I had to have all of them give me the thumbs up. It wasn't like a majority. It had to be a complete unanimous decision. So one pastor, John Cinelli, brings me in this office. Hey, guys, Ryan wants to start a church in Deerfield, blah, 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 blah. What do you guys think? First guy, oh, absolutely, bro, love that dude. Second guy. Third guy, yes. Fourth guy. Fifth guy. Like, more than half the room was like, yeah, not going to happen. Like, what do you mean? Yeah, we don't, bro, you're, here's the night, here, you want to hear the nice Christian way that people put you down? You're a little rough around the edges. What do you want me to do? We want you to do a pastoral internship. So for the next 18 months, I served at that church as a pastoral intern. I'd go in on my free time, I'd minister to people, I'd go to hospitals, I'd preach at convalescent homes. After 18 months, It was the third or fourth time going into a meeting. Hey, Ryan thinks he's ready to go out and start his church now. What do you guys think? First guy, oh, absolutely, man. Good, you've done good work here. Second guy, phenomenal. Let's get third guy. No, no. Run around the room, and now I won over like two of them. I was like, and men who I serve faithfully under, men who I've given my life to serving under, without explanation, without. About a month later, I get a phone call from John Schnell. Hey, what are you doing today, Ryan? I'm over here at Benevolence Ministry, which is where you guys put me. Well, we have a meeting. I want you to come by. Okay. So go in there, and there's only like six guys in the meeting. Okay, Ryan, we think he's ready to start church. What do you guys think? I look around the room. It's all thumbs up. All the guys that gave me thumbs down, they weren't invited to the meeting. So I was like, as soon as I got all the thumbs up, John Schnell looks at me and goes, get out of here now. That's a true story, how this church started. And one of the pastors who voted thumbs down for me for 18 months was a guy named Fidel Gomez. Wow. A guy who I served under so faithfully for years and years and years. And about 3 years after I started the church, I get a phone call. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? Good. How's it going? How's the church? Good, good. He goes, I want you to look up Psalm 119:67. I said, I know that verse. He goes, all right, man, you take care now. Send my love to Joy. I opened my Bible. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I'll keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. And then the verse that he really wanted me to read, which he texted me. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I read this and I after 3 years of being a pastor, you know what I said? Amen. I'd do it all over again. They were right. I wasn't ready. God, take away any animosity I had toward these men. You know what? Thank you. You're right. Ready? What the heck is that? You know what can ready you for standing up here? Nothing. Just standing up here and getting the literal snot beat out of you every single day by the enemy, by the people of God who mean well. One of the things they tell you when you become a pastor, hey, just let you know, sheep bite. What does that mean? You never gone to a petting zoo? Yeah, you put your money in the thing, they get the little handful, and you put your hand out, and those stupid things bite your fingers, they bite you, ow! Sheep bite. Like, what are you telling me that for? You'll find out. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? If you can read that without getting choked up, if you can read verse 75 without it stopping you for a second, go, hold on, let me catch myself, then you don't have the experience. Then you're not seasoned. Then Psalm 119 probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Because I'm telling you right now, before your life with Christ is over, you're going to look back at the worst things that have ever happened to you and say to yourself, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. How I complained before I went to prison. And when I got out, I was like, hallelujah. Lord, this was the greatest. How, go all the way just a couple months ago. How I asked God why he let me get this freaking virus. If you're going to kill me, just do it now. And now I look back, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Go back a few years ago when I got these panic attacks getting on a plane, and for 3 days the enemy just had a, I don't even say a field day. It was just horrible for 3 years, afraid of this and afraid of, and then deliverance. And I look back and these things have taught me so much. They've helped me minister to people. They've helped me get closer to God. I can sit here and read this to you. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Now, just for one little cheat sheet, I just read to you one of the verses. But you find the rest of them yourself. I'm not telling you anymore. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Let those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that it may not be ashamed. That was from Yod, now Kaf. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Now, I want you to remember that he had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's it. Like, I want comfort. I know where to find it. How do you read Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot, and go, oh, there's my comfort. What? Now, of course, I'm making light of some of the great stories in there, but I'm telling you, me who loves the Old Testament, I'm telling you, in light of the New Testament, I don't know if the Old Testament's so sweet, because I'm looking for the Lord Jesus on every page of the Old Testament and finding him. But without the Lord Jesus, I don't know if it's just a bunch of stories to me. But let me tell you what verse 82 does to me. Have you ever needed a word from the Lord? Have you ever been in a bad place and like, I really need a word, God? And you read and you read and you read and just, it's still like, it's like eating a Ritz cracker without a glass of juice or something. It's just, I'm trying, God. I'm trying to chew this up and swallow this down. But I need a wet word, man. I need something soaked with the Spirit. It's what they call a rhema word. Something out. Like if you're in premarital here, if you know anybody in premarital here, if you're thinking about marrying or having a relationship with the person you're sitting next to, you need a word from, not you two, stop that. Stop that. She's taken already by God. You need a rhema word. Like God, if I'm going to do this, you need to reveal your word to me. Like Brian and Maggie are trying to buy a house. You know how much houses go for right now, guys? You know what kind of commitment that is? And hope that this market don't blow up when you buy it. And then you wind up upside down like so many good people did 10 years ago. Buying a house for $300,000, $400,000 to have it worth $200,000 now. God, I need to know if this is you, and I need like to know now. You guys follow me? That's my word right there. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I've become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That word for is settled means stands firm. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. If you've never worshipped to Terry Clark, I want you to put in "I am yours, Terry Clark" in YouTube, and let God absolutely melt your heart when this man sings "I am yours." Wow. It will change your life. It'll revitalize. It'll baptize your worship. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mem, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You see, students here, if you're in school, whatever knowledge you learn, you add God to it, and it becomes wisdom. Knowledge without God is only knowledge. And all it will do is puff you up. But you add God to any knowledge you obtain, now you got wisdom. Now you got wisdom. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Please give me your attention real quick. If you're still looking for those verses that I'm talking about, because there's five more, it's virtually impossible to do it, because if you're looking for them, then you're not reading the word right. And that's what happens to me every time. It's like, I know they're there. So I circled them in my Bible. So now I can stop thinking about finding the six verses that aren't there. And now, okay, now I can just read the word and try to receive it. And that is the way the word just is so deep, so much deeper than our thoughts, so much greater than our problems, so much wiser than our stupidity. None. You see, nuns are in the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Oh, that's where that's from. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous. Do you guys, anybody know who Don Dukes is? One time he taped two flashlights to his shins when he was teaching the Bible, and he walked in. He was like, "Hey, guys." And you're like, "What are you doing, Pastor Don?" He goes, "The word is light to my feet." Ah, I like that. Never forgot that, though, did I? It was really cornball, but I never forgot it. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, till the very end. Samek, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Oh, my goodness. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, that I am afraid of your judgments. Ayin, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ah, who said that? Sneak. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Man, are we not living in the times of Psalm 119, 126? Are we not? Have you not said, God, stop them now. They think your word is nothing. They don't believe your word. They don't believe there's a judgment coming. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the ascension. They don't believe in the... What am I thinking? Rapture. They don't believe in it. It's time now. It's time for you to act now, God. As soon as we say that, he's like, yeah, no, I was gonna, but no man knows the day or the hour. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, and fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? Your soul is dark. If you remember your BC days and how dark your life was, how void it was of any hope, how void it was of any... It was just void, man. And all of a sudden you start reading the Bible and this light starts to shine. The entrance of your word gives light. It's such an amazing verse. Oh my goodness. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Nobody has any idea what 135 means. I have no idea what make your face shine upon me means, but it feels so good when I read it. Like, is that he's just going to smile at me? Just the beaming glow of God's light? I mean, what does that mean? I've never heard anybody else ever say anything like that. Make your face shine upon me. It's like my granddaughters. Arlen, she's so bad. But when she makes her face shine upon me, it just... Pop-Pop, you have peanut butter balls? I have these peanut butter pops that I just love, and she loves them with me. And I don't care what she does to me. I don't care how mean she is. I don't care how nasty. She goes to me, Pop-Pop, you want... You share peanut butter balls with me? Of course I will. Make your face to shine upon me some more. Teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. Man, it doesn't matter what happens in your day. It doesn't matter what's happened to your relationship. It doesn't matter what's happened to your health. It doesn't matter what's happened to your children. It doesn't matter what's happened to your job. It doesn't matter. Retreat to the Word of God, and it can make everything better. Everything. The Word of God is eternal. It's never changing and never ending. In your life, it's but a vapor. It's a dash between 2 years. The righteousness of your testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Steve, you missed me. I will keep your statutes. I thought I was going to trick you there, but I didn't. Do you know them? Is that how you never heard that? You just happen to be paying attention to that? Good job. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. You ever do that, guys? Next time you wake up in the middle of the night, instead of looking at your phone and checking your emails or your Facebook feed or whatever it is, man, just start reciting his word. Just pick up the word of God. Just start praying for people. Chances are, listen, let's be honest for a second. Just for a second. I'm going to be honest with you first. Sleep for me lately has been really, really bad. I mean, I think while I was on my vacation, there wasn't a night that I didn't wake up in the middle of the night 3 or 4 times. And I went to go, like I told my wife, I was like, what do you want to do? When I get there, I want to take a nap, and then when I wake up, I want to go to sleep. And then when I wake up, I want to rest a little while. Four days in a row, I woke up, and every single time I lifted my clock and I looked, and it was 4:01. Like, this sucks. So I just started praying for people, praying for my lost family, praying for you all, just having the vision of this church and remembering who's, because you guys all basically sit in the same place every week. I'm surprised your names aren't on the seat. Try it next time. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. Steve? They drew near to me. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Resh. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Now, you'll start to see when you read Psalm 119, you'll see the same phrases over and over again. Sometimes it's the beginning of a sentence, sometimes it's at the end. Like, I think there's about 15 times where he says, according to your law, according to your word, according to your precepts. Kind of cheated a little bit, but we could forgive him for that. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous, and I am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Psalm 160 is very interesting. Psalm 160 is interesting because some people think that the word of God contains truth. So what they do is they pick out a verse here and there and apply it to a situation like that doesn't exist. For instance, if you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that the earth is going to melt away because it says in the book of Psalms the earth endures forever. Yet in 1 Peter, it says that the earth is going to melt away like wax. So what is it? Is that the contradiction? No, you see, the Bible doesn't contain truth. It is truth. The entirety of his word is truth. The earth does endure forever, exactly the way God intended it to. Oh, Ryan, you're just playing word games there. That's not what it means. No, that's exactly what it means. And if you understood the way it was written and how it was written, you would know that too, unless you're intentionally trying to find cracks in the bridge instead of secure stepping. That someday is going to make a lot of sense to you. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. 7 times a day I praise you. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to set your clock for 7 times. I want you to set, go to your clock and write it, go to your alarms and write like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5. And every time your alarm goes off, just reach out and go, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. One time I went out to lunch with a buddy. He was a Catholic guy at the time. Since then, he's become born again. But one time I was out at lunch with him, and his clock goes off. Ding, 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 ding. I go, what's that? He goes, bro, it's 3 o'clock. It's the time that the Lord was crucified. Just, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I said, what the heck was that? That was cool as all get out. But that was weird, dude. It's like, yeah, I know. It's just it's a thing I have. You know, as Catholics, you know, we recite things and we say the rosary over and over again. And I know to you born again guys, it's like, it's repetition. But for me, I set my clock every day for 3 o'clock just to thank God because he died at 3 o'clock. It's like, dude, I love that. I absolutely love that. Now, I don't know if he was showing off for me. I don't know if he did that before the lunch because people tend to do that. Oh, you're a pastor? Let me show this guy how God... But, again, since then, he's gotten born again, and he's a good brother. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. It's a doer of the law and not just a sayer. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. And finally, Tal, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. You know how many people have recited Psalm 119, 175 in the midst of sickness? David, in another psalm, he wrote, if I go down to the dust, will the dust praise you? He was telling God, keep me alive, preserve me, don't let me die. I promise you, if you let me live, I will praise you with whatever life is left. It's a cool prayer. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, what's incredible about Psalm 119, 176, and we're finished here, obviously, isn't that just this condensed version of he leaves the 99 to get the one? His sheep that go astray. It's just, it's so beautiful how you can weave the Lord into every single verse. But isn't Psalm 119 just amazing, guys? But let me tell you, the next 10, 15 Psalms are what's called the Songs of Ascent. They are my favorite section of the Psalms. These were the Psalms that were written by the Israelites when they made what's called the pilgrimage. Everybody in all the land of Israel and wherever Israelites existed, once a year had to travel all the way back to the temple in Jerusalem and keep the Passover feast together. These are the Psalms that they wrote and sang on the way. As they were going, they would play the drums and play and sing these Psalms. You guys are going to love them. They're really, really cool. And most of them are songs that we sing. Those who trust in the Lord. Anyway, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, God. It was good that I was afflicted. I got no complaints, God. Thank you, God, for David writing these verses, and thank you for giving us them as hope. God, and I pray all these verses, these 176 verses over these people, these great people of God that are here, that through some of them they would find hope, they would find comfort, they would find joy and peace, they would find confirmation, God, that they would have answers to life that have been plaguing them for years. Thank you, God, for Psalm 119. Bless it to our hearts that we would never forget. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.